Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Jenison, Michigan. I'm glad you joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. Well, please open your Bibles to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, you can open to chapter 1. You want to keep your finger in the book of Romans for the whole sermon. As we read select passages from the book of Romans, I'll read them now, then we'll walk through them in today's sermon called The Romans Road to Salvation. The Romans Road to Salvation. Listen closely, this is God's inspired word, Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities have been clearly seen. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Romans 10, verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word from the pen of the Apostle Paul. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are teacher and rabbi and instructor. We thank you that by nature we are born not knowing all we need to know. So much we do not know. And our ignorance needs to be trained by your wisdom and knowledge. But also, Lord, not only touch our minds, but touch our hearts and our lives. We pray that the truth, the light of the gospel would animate us, that it would excite us, that it would fill us with purpose and your pleasure and your fellowship. Thank you, O Lord, for blessing your word. Now bless this sermon. In Christ's name we pray, and let us all say, amen. Well, I love roads. I've met a few truck drivers in my day, some in our own congregation, and I love to talk to them about where they have driven. I love the road up north, right? What does that mean? That means Traverse City. That means Sleeping Bear. That means Mackinac and more. I love that road. I love the road to Key West. It's fascinating. Hours and hours over bridges and islands. I love the two-track roads of Michigan. There's lots of adventure when you get on a Michigan two-track. And of course, I love the dirt roads and the country roads of West Virginia. I have lots of loved ones who live on and near those roads. I guess you could say I love roads, because roads get you where you're going. And we all need help getting where we should go. Now, the Apostle Paul liked one road in particular. It's called the Roman Road. Paul traveled on Roman roads to spread the gospel. This is what historian Lionel Cason tells us about those Roman roads. He says, Paul could make his way from the shores of the Euphrates River, that's in Iraq, to the border between England and Scotland without crossing a foreign frontier. He could sail through any waters without fear of pirates, thanks to the emperor's patrol squadrons. A planned network of good roads gave him access to all major centers, and the through routes were policed well enough for him to ride them with relatively little fear of bandits. And so Paul traveled on Roman roads in spreading the gospel. Now, one of the cities that Paul visited while traveling on those Romans road was the city of Rome. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ in the capital city. In fact, he even earlier wrote them a letter that describes the gospel of Jesus Christ in more detail than any one of Paul's other letters. That's the book of Romans. The book of Romans. He describes the gospel clearly in the book of Romans. In fact, Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, suggested every Christian should just memorize the book. Now, this is what he said. He said, This letter is truly the most important piece of the New Testament. It is purest gospel. It is well worth a Christian's while not only to memorize it word for word, but also to occupy himself with it daily, as though it were the daily bread of the soul. It is impossible to read or to meditate on this letter too much or too well. The more one deals with it, the more precious it becomes and the better it tastes. Now, let me tell you one thing. It would be really hard to memorize the book of Romans. I tried. It's 16 chapters. It is 433 verses. Kids, Mrs. Igo doesn't have enough prizes in her catechism box for you if you learned all those verses. However, you can memorize a handful, a small sample of the verses from the book of Romans. And that is what today many people call the Romans Road to Salvation. The Romans Road to Salvation is between 4 and 7 Bible verses from the book of Romans that summarize Paul's gospel very well. And by learning them, you and I, like the Apostle Paul, can spread the gospel of Jesus so that when somebody says to you, "Why should I become a Christian?" or "How can a person become a Christian?" you know the answer. You can answer them from the Bible using the Romans Road. Now, next weekend, City Fest will hit the city, and there will be free, family-friendly fun and games, Christian concerts, and powerful gospel preaching after the message. Many will be given an opportunity to respond, saying, "I want to follow Jesus," and that's where festival friends can help. They'll walk up, as I mentioned earlier, and say, "I'm a festival friend. How come you raised your hand?" And then they'll do a lot of listening. They'll share a small booklet with them, take down follow-up information, turn it in at a booth so our area churches can pick up where was left off the next week. Now, today you are invited to come to that training, but if you can't come or if you can't help with this event, well, everyone should know the Romans Road. Everyone. So this brings us to our first point of the Romans Road. Here it is. God is our creator. Very simple. God is our creator. So let's say our verse, Romans 1:20, out loud together. "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities have been clearly seen." Stop. So that's the first point. Christians believe in the creator God. We believe in God who is our creator. Whenever we take a walk in the woods, whenever we climb a mountain, whenever we count the stars at night or ride on a boat in the middle of the water, the mystery and the majesty and the beauty we feel are the very presence of the living God. Nature tells us about our Creator. In fact, God is so good at revealing himself through nature that the vast majority of people on the planet believe in God. For example, today, About 80% of Americans believe in the existence of God. And if you add to that a higher being or source of power, that jumps to 90%. Now, I'll confess, it's hardly over 50% that believe in the God of the Bible. And yet it's amazing that God so thoroughly reveals himself in the creation. Now, nature doesn't tell us everything. Nature doesn't tell us, is God a he or a she? Is God one or is God many? You see, we need God's son, Jesus, to tell us by his life, by his teaching, by his death, by his resurrection, all we need to know about the living God. But we sure learn a lot about the creator from nature. For example, whenever we walk around in life and we notice that everybody we meet has a sense of right and wrong, well, that is evidence that a moral God created a moral world. Or whenever we walk around and see the design and the craftsmanship and the order of the cosmos, well, that is the signature of the great designer who designed the world. Or whenever you notice that in life, every effect has a cause, it makes you think backwards until you finally say, you know, there's some uncaused cause somewhere that causes all things, and that is God. So Romans 1:20 invites us to look at the creation and to make observations and see God on display. Now, many books have been written about this topic, and not every quality of God can be seen in nature, but many can if we but look. So that's the first point on the Romans road. God is our creator. So let's warm up again and say it together. Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities have been clearly seen. There is a God. He is our creator. All right, so now since there is a God who has shown himself in nature, that invites so many questions, right? Why are we here? Where are we going? And how do we get there? And here's an important one. What went wrong? Everybody agrees, stuff is wrong. This brings us to our second point on the Romans road. Here it is. All have sinned, and sin brings death. So let's say Romans 3:23 together. Here we go. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, kids, do you know that sin is an archery term? Archery, bows and arrows. That's right. Whenever you are doing archery, if your arrow misses the mark or misses the bullseye, that's called a sin. And the Bible here in Romans 3:23 says everyone misses the mark. In the Bible, sin means not doing what God commands or doing what God says not to do. And in case you haven't checked, we all do that every day. All have sinned. That's the gospel according to the Bible. That is the gospel according to Christianity. Now, our Westminster Catechism, question 19, points out that sin brings three things according to the Bible. Sin brings misery in this life. Sin brings death itself, and sin brings the pains of hell forever. And that's why Romans 6:23 says this. Let's say it together. The wages of sin is death. All right. By that, we mean physical death of our bodies. We mean spiritual death of our souls. And we mean final death on that final day of judgment. And so sin brings death. Now, I know these things are offensive. I really do. I know concepts like sin and hell make modern Americans mad. Don't want to hear it. But listen, the Christian doctrine of sin best explains why I am the way I am, why you are the way that you are, and why this world is in its present evil, messed up condition. I know it's bad news. And yet it is very accurate. Everyone sins. For example, let's take a little quiz. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Do you always honor the name of God? Do you always honor mom and dad? Never lie, never cheat, never steal, never take advantage of your neighbor. Now be honest. You know you don't. Not at all. And you don't do what you should do. That is the definition of a sinner. And that is you and me. Now, here's what happens. As we sin, three things happen. First of all, as we sin, misery rises. Now listen, I know at first it's fun. Sin is fun. That's why people do it. There's this little bump. There's this rush when you first sin. The Bible calls this the pleasures of sin for a season. So it feels really good when you're like, sin. And then you're like, oh no, oh no, oh no. Have you ever said something and it felt really good and 5 seconds later you go, oh, why did I say that? That's how sin. So the more sin there is, misery rises. The second thing that happens as we sin is death draws nearer. Every sin, death draws. Sometimes our sin causes the death of ourselves. Sometimes our sin causes the death of our neighbor. And sometimes our sin plays itself out until finally in God's scheme and judgment, we all die. And so I've seen some of you 7 days ago. Today you are 7 days closer to death. The third thing that rises is judgment, final judgment. Every day that we live, we do stuff that one day we'll stand before God and God will say, so what did you do with this life I gave you? And every day that passes, we have more bad news to tell God. And so that's the problem of sin. It brings misery, it brings death, it brings judgment. And as we draw nearer to judgment day, God shall come to judge the living and the dead. That is why sin is the problem. All right, so let's just warm up our voices again and say our two verses, Romans 3:23 together. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So what has God done about this? God didn't have to do anything. He could have let us stew in our own juices. We do that to one another. There are times we just say, fine, go live your life. Hope it turns out well for you. But God did not do that. God did something amazing. And that brings us to our third point on the Romans road. It's this: God sent Christ to die for our sins. Christ died for our sins. Let's say our verse, Romans 5:8 together. Together? But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, if you think sin and hell are a controversial topic, well, the name of Jesus is even more so. Simply ask 30 different people in 30 different nations who they think Jesus is and get ready for probably nigh 30 different answers. The name of Jesus is very controversial today. Everybody wants a piece of the Jesus action, or they don't want a piece of the Jesus action. Very controversial. But there is an answer to who Jesus is. The Bible tells us here in Romans 5 verse 8 that God so loved us. God's infinite love and goodness so overflowing in his character that he sent his one and only begotten son to rescue us from our sins. The Bible says Jesus left the glory of heaven and the worship of angels and became a man. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He was fully God. He was fully man. In his humanity, he lived the painful life we all live. Jesus knew tears. Jesus knew pain. Jesus knew hunger. But he was so much unlike us in this one unique way, he had never sinned. Jesus was the only perfect human being to ever walk the face of planet Earth, and yet he died the death of a common criminal on a cross. Why? Jesus did not have to. He did not deserve to. He did so willingly. In effect, on the cross, Jesus was saying, "Father, put to account all the sins of a vast multitude of people on me, and satisfy your holy anger against sin by judging me in the place of sinners." You see, God cannot overlook sin. I mean, that's often what people expect him to do. What if a police officer overlooked a murder? We would fire that police officer, right? What if judges kept throwing cases out of the court, saying, just forget about it? We would do a recall election. You see, to overlook evil and injustice is actually evil, without doing so in a way that honors justice and honors love. And so God could not overlook sin. He could not sweep it under the rug. He couldn't say, boys will be boys and girls will be girls. Let's just all get along with one another. No, God's holy character demands that he judge what is wrong and what is sinful and what is evil with appropriate consequences. And so the Bible tells us that is what the cross is all about. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, "God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might have the righteousness of God." So at the cross, Jesus not only paid the penalty for our sins, but Jesus also imputed the righteousness of God to us. So how do we know it worked? How do we know this is all true and not a figment of the theological imagination? Well, on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead. And by doing so, God vindicated the holy life of Jesus, and God said, "Mission accomplished." God vindicated that which he did on the cross. And Jesus rose from the dead, and then over a period of 40 days, he showed himself on over 10 occasions. On one of those occasions, he showed himself alive to more than 500 witnesses at the same time. And then he ascended to heaven, and he gave the Holy Spirit, and he gave the Great Commission, saying, "Go and preach the gospel to every living creature." Now here's the rub. You and I cannot experience this gospel, this good news, this forgiveness of sins, and this life worth living just by hearing the message alone. God demands a response, and that brings us to our final point of the Romans Road. And it's this: receive Jesus Christ by faith. Let's say Romans 10:9 together. Together? "That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Now the Bible says God commands people everywhere to repent and to believe. Jesus in his parables tells us that you and I and all of humanity, that we are on a broad road to destruction. That is right. Many are on that road, and with every breath we take and every step we take, we are that much closer to destruction. The end, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:26, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment," not reincarnation, not simply closing your eyes and ceasing to exist, not annihilation of the human soul. After death comes one thing: judgment. So if you and I die in our sins, then we will end up under the eternal judgment of God in the lake of fire. And that is where repentance comes in. Because as humanity walks down this broad road, Jesus stands and he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus says he is the way, not a way, not a possible option of many. He is the way. And so repentance means abandoning our way, abandoning your way, abandoning their way, and following the Jesus way. That is repentance. But then comes faith. Now, here's a great way to remember what faith is. The definition of faith is resting and receiving and accepting Jesus to save us from our sins. But I like the acrostic. Is it acrostic? I think that's it. Faith. Think of the word faith. F-A-I-T-H. Now look there up high and you'll see it. Forsaking all, I trust him. That is faith. Forsaking all others, forsaking your sin, forsaking your efforts, forsaking, I take him. So it's, notice what it's not. It's not trusting Jesus and church going. It is not trusting Jesus and your good works. It is not trusting Jesus and your teddy bear. It is trusting in Jesus alone with a sincere heart and a contrite spirit to be your Lord and your Savior from sin. And so I like to close with this question. If you died tonight and you appeared before God, who is the maker of heaven and earth, and he asked this question, if he said, why should I let you into my perfect heaven? What would you say? Would you say, well, I'm a pretty nice person. Would you say, well, my mom and dad, they go to church and they were Sunday school teachers. Oh, will you say, well, you know, I'm socially active. I give money to the poor and I volunteer for the less fortunate. Or if you're like, well, I sometimes went to church when I woke up on time. Well, that might impress your neighbors. But that will not impress the living and true God. Jesus must be Lord and Savior from your sin, or you will perish in that sin. So dear church, you have been warned. I don't know how to say it more clearly. I could preach the sermon 5 more Sundays in a row, but you have been warned, this day is coming. And so I plead with you. I beg you to quit playing games and to entrust yourself to Jesus Christ. Because that's our final verse, and it is a promise. And it is a promise that God will not break. And it's Romans 10:13. Say it with me. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call on his name. Don't think about it. Don't do it in your imagination. Don't do it in your notes. Don't say, yeah, that's something good to do. Now call on the Lord. You do not have tomorrow. Misery rises daily. Death is marching. Judgment is coming. Call on God today. What are you waiting for? That's the Romans road. Now you might speak it in a quiet and gentle spirit. I'm a preacher, right? Of course I'm gonna elevate it at the end there and knock your socks out of your shoes. But you just tell people. That's the Romans road. Now, do you know it? I learned it when I was a kid. I remember my mom sitting me down and I memorized the Romans road and I'd have to say it back to her. And if you look it up, it always has a couple different verses. I had only like 4 or 5. But I've seen this one and I like this one best. It's these verses. It's Romans 1:20, 3:23, 6:23, 5:8, 10:9, 10:9 and 10, 10:13. Do you know it? And the summary is very simple. It's this: God is our creator. All have sinned. Sin brings death. Christ died for sin. Receive Christ by faith and call on the name of the Lord. Do you know the Romans road? But dear church, more importantly, do you believe it? Have you done it? Are you walking the Romans road? Not reading about it in a book going, oh, that'd be a great place to visit one day. Are you walking the Romans road? You know, not all roads lead to Rome. And not all roads lead to God. Are you walking the Jesus road? I'd hate for you to learn the Romans road today without ever believing the Romans road. You can explain the Romans road and still die in your sin. Don't let that be you. Call upon the name of the Lord today. You can do so using something my mother taught me when I was little. Many people have called it the sinner's prayer, and it is a beautiful prayer. It says, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Thank you for creating me and dying for me, rising on the third day. I repent of my sin and trust in Christ to wash away my sin. Please be Lord of my life and grant me life everlasting. Thank you for coming into the door of my heart. I ask this in Jesus' name. And let all of us agree by saying, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the simple gospel, that it was delivered unto us as it was delivered unto Paul, that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and that on the third day he rose again. Lord, these are the words of life. All other treasures and joys and delights fall to the ground and pale in comparison to Christ living, died, risen, and coming again. We pray, O Lord, that Christ would animate our faith and our lives. We pray that the joy of forgiveness and power over what is evil and wrong with the world would be ours in Christ by the Holy Spirit. We pray your blessings upon us this week. We pray for our outreach as we prepare for City Fest next weekend, as we prepare for our Christianity Explored class at the end of September. We pray, O Lord, that you would bless these humble efforts to proclaim Christ to the nations of the earth. We ask these things humbly in the name of Jesus, and let us all say, amen. This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, a newer church in Jenison, Michigan, belonging to a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Our weekly Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, please feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or at the church website.